Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me on our last day of this week, going through 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going through a chunk of verses 3 through 11, and Peter is laying out for us a vision for the Christian life. He's inviting us into this beautiful vision of how are we to live. And this is a question that over and over again, when people receive the gospel, they ask, what do we do now? How do we respond? How are we now to live? How does this change our lives? And God is giving us grace to live in this Easter season as new creations, to receive his great promises, to live in his divine power, to live in the reality of what we have access to. And we left off yesterday talking about, hey, we actually have this amazing gift, but it doesn't just sit there. We have to make an effort. We have to use it. We have to unwrap it. Like, say, I've always wanted this KitchenAid mixer. Or this is a better example. I've always wanted like this really bougie, fancy espresso machine. So say somebody got it for me for Christmas, and I unwrap it and everything, and I'm just sitting in my kitchen, sitting there in front of it, and I'm like, why isn't it giving me espresso? This is so annoying. Like, why isn't it making it for me? Why isn't it, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, well, because you have to put the espresso beans in and you have to press the button and you have to put your cup under and you have to choose which drink you want and you have to make the coffee. And it's not a perfect analogy, but I think sometimes we do this in the spiritual life. We're like, oh, well, you're talking about this amazing life of godliness and all this kind of stuff. Like, why isn't anything happening for me? Or that's not my life or whatever it is. And God's like, I'm giving you all of this. You have to use it. You have to make an effort. You have to put this into practice in your life. You have to choose not to indulge in your desires and all of these different things. And so I want to encourage you to go listen to the episode from yesterday, because it takes us through this cadence that Paul takes us through in a really, really beautiful way. And we're going to get back to it and we're going to wrap up all of these verses today. But first, let's pray with our psalm. We've been beginning back at Psalm 1 this week, praying a psalm each time we're together. And again, when we did this before, I just want to invite you to kind of allow one line from the psalm to stick out to you and kind of become a mantra for your day, kind of just become a prayer that's on your lips all day throughout the day. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to be in Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my groaning. Hearken to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to thee do I pray. O Lord, in the morning thou dost hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you art not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not sojourn with you. The boastful may not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will worship you in your holy temple and fear your name. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make my way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their heart is destruction. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and defend them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Lord, you bless the righteous. Cover us. Keep us in the shadow of your wings. Help us to exult in you, O Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I love that line 7. But through the abundance of your steadfast love, I will enter your house. I will worship you in your holy temple in fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make the way straight before me. I think that line 7 for me is going to be my thing that I repeat today, that through the abundance of your steadfast Lord, I will enter your house. I will worship you in your holy temple. Just a beautiful line, just to recenter our hearts on the center, on the Lord, on what the Lord is asking us to do. Amen. All right, let's get into our word. I just want to read again. We began in verse 3. I'm going to jump to verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he has cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul lists all these things: faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. For if these things, what things? Those things that we just listed: love, brotherly affection, godliness, steadfastness, self-control, virtue, faith. If these things are yours and they abound in you, about, if they're overflowing in you, if you have these things in you. He's not like, oh, if you have these things in you, it's really good. Two thumbs up for you, and you'll be better and you'll be happier, or you're doing a good job. If you have these things in you, they keep you. What keeps you? These things. Remember, they're listed: love, brotherly affection, godliness, steadfastness, self-control, virtue, faith, knowledge. If you have these things, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the third time that Peter has said this. The knowledge of our Lord, knowing Jesus. So there's this reality. We come into a living relationship. We know about Jesus. We know who he is. We have this intimate knowledge of him. But there's this thing, basically Peter's saying, but even if you know him, you can be ineffective and unfruitful in your knowledge of him. Which indicates what? We are called to be effective and we are called to be fruitful. This is not like work really hard and you can earn your salvation. No, no, no. This is not condemning. This is saying you are called. You are supposed to be effective and you are supposed to be fruitful. As a Christian, we have a job to do. And when the power of Christ is living in us, if we are not effective as believers, if we are not fruitful as believers, something is wrong. If these things belong to you and abound in you, they keep you. These things keep you from being ineffective. So these things make you effective. What makes you an effective believer in Christ? Godliness, self-control, virtue, faith, knowledge, steadfastness, brotherly affection, love. These things make you effective and fruitful in your relationship with Christ Jesus. That's pretty serious. These things keep you from ineffectiveness. They keep you from unfruitfulness. If these things are in you, you will be effective and you will be fruitful. Now it keeps going. For whoever lacks these things, it says whoever has these things, right, will be effective and will be fruitful. But whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. So those who have these things, they're effective. They're fruitful. These things keep them from being impotent in the spirit. They keep them from not bearing fruit. But if they don't have these things, if you lack these things, Peter says, you are blind. You cannot see. If you don't have these things in your life as a believer, you're blind. You're short-sighted. What does short-sighted mean? Not being able to see the future. not being able to see what's ahead of you, not being able to see what's to come. You're blind, you're short-sighted. Both of these have to do with vision. Like literally, short-sightedness is unable to see distant objects clearly. Figurative, lacking foresight, failing to consider future consequences. Failing to consider future consequences. So these things, if you don't have these things, if you don't have love, if you don't have brotherly affection, if you don't have knowledge, if you don't have self-control, if you don't have virtue, if you don't have faith, if you don't have steadfastness, if you don't have godliness, you can't see what is to come. You can't see how what you're doing now will affect later, and you can't see images in the distance. So you can't see what you're waiting for, which is Christ who comes again in glory. And finally, he who does not have these has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So it's like not having these things that gives some kind of amnesia. We forget who we are. We forget that God has cleansed us from our sins and we can live in virtue. We can live in faith. We can live in godliness. We can live in steadfastness, that this is what we're called to. But when we don't have these things, we fall back into a reality where we forget that we've been cleansed from our sins. So whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's saying you have this call and election. Confirming your call and election. He's saying, because of this, because of all of these things, be all the more zealous, be eager, go after it to confirm the call and election. What does that mean? About a believer seeking assurance that they are called and chosen by God, confirmed to make certain or sure of your status in Christ. That don't wander away. Don't risk, where do I stand with Christ? Don't risk being ineffective and unfruitful. Don't risk forgetting that you have been ransomed and cleansed from your sins. Don't risk being short-sighted. Don't risk being blind, but be zealous with energy. Go after it to say, this is who I am in Christ. For if you do this, you will never fall. If you're confident, if you're going after your identity in Christ, you will never fall. And what's this final line? There will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants to provide you with a way. He's already provided you with a way home to the Father, and he wants to confirm in you. He's saying, confirm who you are. Get after who you are. And if you do this, if you make every effort to supplement faith with virtue, virtue with self-control, self-control with knowledge, knowledge with, you know, whatever, what we read there, godliness, steadfastness, brotherly affection, love, that a way, an entrance into the eternal kingdom of God will be given to you. I don't know about you, but I want that entrance. I want that entrance into the eternal kingdom. God, grant us entrance into your kingdom. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.